Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26 and verse 8. Acts chapter 26 and verse 8 reads, "Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead?" Now the context of our text this morning is the Apostle Paul's defense before Agrippa the king. Paul makes the point that belief in the resurrection is no crime, and that belief in the resurrection was in fact a common belief among his people, the Jews. For it is indeed written and attested to by many who would say that I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. The reason for the charges that had been manufactured against Paul had to do not with the fact that he was preaching the resurrection per se, but that he was preaching Jesus the Christ as the resurrected Lord. You know, people don't get very offended when we preach the resurrection in general, or when we preach about God. But when we begin to preach that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God, and that he is the resurrected Lord, then the offense comes. Now, the obvious answer to the question, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead, is this: with God, all things are possible. By definition, God being who he is, the resurrection, yea, even all things are within the realm of possibility for him. But there is still more reason than this to believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is credible. In the sermon proper this morning, we'll continue, or we'll approach this from three avenues. First, we will consider the objective witness of God through Scripture. Secondly, we will consider the personal witness of God in our hearts. And finally, we will consider what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for each one of us. These things being true, what then shall we do? First, we'll consider the objective witness of God through Scripture. Now, there are at least 10, as many as 13 appearances of Jesus between his resurrection and his ascension that are recorded in Scripture. Mary Magdalene was the first to the tomb on the first Easter morning. And she received the blessing of being the first to see the resurrected Jesus. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus would also appear to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Thomas, to James, the half-brother of our Lord, to 500 people at once, and finally, to the Apostle Paul, out of season, as it were, in a miraculous way. Truly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not done in a corner. This was not some secret thing. Perhaps my favorite witness, objective witness in Scripture to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is when the Apostle Paul challenges the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't believe me, and you don't believe the other apostles, and you don't believe the disciples, I can give you the names of 500 guys. Their names, their addresses, phone numbers, email addresses. Go look them up. If you're real sophisticated, contact them on Facebook. I'll tell you where to find them. And they will attest to the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we will consider the personal witness of God in our hearts. The Bible says that He has put eternity in all of our hearts. Now, what does Solomon mean when he writes this? We have a sense that this life is not all that there is. We cannot fathom ceasing to exist completely. Can you remember a time when you didn't exist? Can you fathom a time when you won't? Just think about it for a minute. Neither does the Bible teach annihilation anywhere. There's no biblical support for this kind of thing. There is a conscious existence that continues beyond this life. And the awareness of it is God's gift to you. For it is one way that He directs our hearts, our spirits, and our thoughts to consider eternal things. Now, God witnesses in a special sense to those who believe. And we see this beginning at Pentecost with the infant church. What was it that turned scared men, these guys who were locked in a room for fear of the Jews, into bold proclaimers of the fact that Jesus is the Christ? One thing, friends. They were convinced of the truth of His resurrection. And such was the topic of much of their preaching. We read in the book of Acts that they began to preach the resurrection, that Jesus is the Christ. And so it is for believers today. God the Holy Spirit indwells believers, attesting to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving us hope. For Jesus promised, and we sang this morning, "Because I live, you will live also." Amen. Now we will consider what the resurrection of Jesus Christ means for each of us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis for our Christian hope. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Why, King Agrippa, should the resurrection of the dead be thought an incredible thing? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. In other words, if Jesus Christ isn't risen from the dead, we're all wasting our time here. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise and Christ is not risen, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, proclaims the Apostle Paul, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. God sent the first Adam, And the first Adam sinned. He fell. And he died. And then God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. In biblical typology, He is the second Adam who did not sin. And though He died to pay the penalty for sin, yet He lives to make intercession for all of those who come to God through Him. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Notice that phrase, all. It sounds a little bit like universalism, right? Some have taken it to mean this. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you that there are two resurrections. Jesus said so. There is not only one resurrection, but there are two. Reading from the book of John, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." For believers, the resurrection means hope of eternal life with God through Christ. For those who refuse to accept Jesus as the Savior, there is no hope. But there is a resurrection of condemnation, which Jesus speaks of in the Gospel of John. Now again I shall ask you, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Friend, consider. If you were to pass from the earth and meet God tonight, would you come with hope and anticipation, knowing that heaven's gates will open wide to welcome you in? Or would you arrive at your final destination? May not even be sure what that is. With fear, intrepidation, not having made peace with God through Jesus Christ. And so consider, which resurrection will you be a partaker of? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of condemnation? And so since you know not what a day may bring forth, I urge you to settle the matter today. To settle it right now. And we shall let the risen Savior, the risen Jesus, have the last word on the matter. Take Him at His word. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your blessed promise, the blessed hope of eternal life, that we as believers can have in you. That because you live, we too can live also. Lord, if there be any among our number who cannot honestly say that if they were to die today, that they would be a partaker of the resurrection of life, but fear that perhaps the resurrection of condemnation awaits them. Lord, hear their prayer after this manner. Lord God, I've heard some things today. There is an unsettling in my spirit that I believe is from you. And I can't honestly say that if I die, I would go to heaven today. I ask myself the question and I just don't know. Lord, I believe your promises this morning. I'm going to put my hope there. Because there isn't any other hope. I realize that life on earth is short and fleeting. So God, I come to you today. I come to the foot of the cross, which is now empty. And look up to the risen Jesus and ask that you accept me to give me a heavenly inheritance and to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you, God, that through Jesus Christ, that all who have ever prayed a prayer like this are received into heaven. For you will not cast out any sincere seeker. Lord, may we go forth today as we continue in worship in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.